Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
And going to that final play, you know, when I saw it, the only thing I could think of, I was like, he must have didn't know how you know, what down it was. You know, I haven't heard his, you know, explanation about it as of yet, but on the sideline, I was like, it just took me back, you know, because I was just shocked that, you know, we threw the ball, you know, 3 yards and we needed 8, you know. So I really don't know, you know, what went into that, you know, how, you know, that decision came about, him throwing the ball, you know, that short.
Patrick Peterson on his All Things Covered podcast, and I will say, so that the Cousins Crusaders don't completely freak out, he did also say that Cousins is a top 10 quarterback. You can win a lot of games with Kirk Cousins, and he spent plenty of time talking about the defensive shortcomings as well.
Yep.
So for all the people I saw yesterday, Chris Thomason was the first to transcribe this and put it out on social media. Maybe he should look at he's one to talk. It's like, he talked about all of it. He was asked about the 4th and 8. That's a really candid answer. He thought Kirk forgot how many downs there were, and he was taken aback on the sideline. So before we get to feedback, what did you make of that?
If you played for the team and you're a veteran in the playoffs, 13-win season, before you leave the state, hell, in my case, before I leave the sideline, wouldn't you want to know the answer to that question in retrospect?
Yeah.
How did we throw a 3-yard pass on a 4th and 8? Like, if I'm Pat P, I'm getting that damn answer to give Bryant McFadden.
Are people making too big of a deal out of that play?
No. That play is an enormous, enormous step back to Kirk being who Kirk used to be. And O'Connell somehow empowered him there. Now, keep in mind, O'Connell empowered Kirk mentally, I think, the entire year. But there were a lot of plays. Go back and watch film, guys. We talked about this. There were a lot of plays where O'Connell, early in the season especially, did not leave guys way short of the sticks because of exactly that play.
Yeah.
In that play, I mean, and we've seen it 1,000 times now, when you have a tight end who's chipping and then releases on 4th and 8 and your season's on the line and that's your final play, that's an enormous blunder. And for anyone who says, well, what's he going to do? He's got to throw it up. He's got to throw it into KJ or Jefferson. I don't care whom, but he's got to take a chance. Like, if it all breaks down, what you do is you launch that football towards Osborne, and if it gets picked or falls incomplete, you say, well, it broke down.
It's just interesting that because you kind of wonder, well, as you're watching the game on TV or you're watching from the stadium as a fan or a media member, and you got your own thoughts, and then other people that actually know what they're talking about, like Kurt Warner or Trenches, Alex Boone, Jeremiah Searles, NFL players, Patrick Peterson, and everyone kind of has a similar opinion, which is, you know, maybe it wasn't the most amazing play design, and there was a little pressure, but he still had like 3 seconds to throw, and that's what happened. So this is Feedback Friday, where we go through your comments, questions, concerns, critiques, whatever you want to send us, and we try to get to as many as possible on both Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily on Fridays. Just kind of turn the show over to you guys. And the first question is about Kirk and his age from Alan Fenske here via the Score North app. You can always send us stuff to the Score North app. you'll probably file this under useless statistics, but here's a Super Bowl breakdown. Super Bowl wins by age group of quarterbacks. So he has taken, what have there been, 56 Super Bowls or whatever? And he has put them into categories of how old the quarterback is. So 31 of the Super Bowls have been won by quarterbacks under 30. 17 of them have been won by quarterbacks between 31 and 34, or 31 and 35. And then 8 only have been won by quarterbacks who are 35 and older. Of that older group, so there's been 8 of them. Tom Brady has 3. John Elway has 2. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Johnny Unitas. These are all Hall of Fame dudes. All with 1. So what are your thoughts on Kirk's age? I know we've spent the last 5 years dissecting his play.
Yep.
But now that his play, I think, has ascended in many key areas in the 5 years he's been a Viking.
Mm-hmm.
But his age is also ascending, and he's going to be 35 years old like this summer. So what do you make of it? Is he too old? What do you make of his age and how that factors into their decision-making here?
Well, I think you have to tie it together very firmly with his contract and his cap hit, right? Because like if Kirk said, which you won't, hey, you know what? I'll play for cheap because I'm getting old. He'd be like, okay, but he's not going to. And so I really think the more I think about this, now, personally, I would let him play the contract out. I think they're going to sign him to an extension through 2024 and move on in 2025. And I think that that's probably fair from an age point of view. I just think that we've also gotten into, because of guys like Brady, especially Rodgers to a certain degree as well, though, we've gotten into this like, oh, quarterbacks can play into their 40s now. Well, that's not true of most people. And so I think his age is an important factor. I think the clock is ticking. I am on record as saying this. I don't think Kirk Cousins is ever going to win a Super Bowl, though. So, like, no. I mean, forget the age. I just don't think, and I think the last play on Sunday, I mean, that was a first-round playoff game, you guys. That was a first-round playoff game. And that check down at 4th and 8 for 3 yards is an inexcusable young man's mistake. So, look, he made strides. He and O'Connell had a good working relationship. He did some really good things in the regular season. But that didn't translate, and I think the age is a factor, but I think it's only one of many factors, which includes his play and, of course, his contract.
You think he's too old, Dex? He's old.
He's too old.
He's too old.
Look, all of those guys, and by the way, Drew Brees was 30 when he won a Super Bowl, so I'm not sure where he fell in with the 35-plus category when you were reading that list off the top.
Maybe this whole premise is wrong now.
But like,
I just trust the research that you guys send.
Yeah, you're Burgundy here. You are literally
our
reading the prompter.
Don't check it.
Yeah, you're reading the prompter.
Checking department. Where are they?
But those 35 plus guys, Peyton's, Brady's, etc. Like, those are generational, bona fide Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And I know statistically you can make a little look at Kirk's statistics, but dude, Kirk Cousins is not on the same level career wise as Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or perception and any of those things. So I understand why those guys were able to win Super Bowls at that age. I thought this year was the best possible chance and best path for Kirk to win a Super Bowl. And now all of that is for naught because you lost in the wild card round. And I just think the path is going to be incredibly more difficult. Next year, it's not guaranteed to win 13 games, not guaranteed you have a wild card round, not guaranteed the conference is going to be weaker again. So I think this was the year. Like, I really, my hottest take wasn't just a hot take thrown against the wall and see what sticks. I legitimately stand by it. I think the 2022 Vikings had Kirk Cousins on the best path to win a Super Bowl, and now I'm back to square one with them, which is he can't. He can't win a Super Bowl.
And it becomes harder the older. And I just went back, and I think I'm correcting Alan here correctly. Brady has 4 of them.
Of the
8 by 35 and older quarterbacks, Brady has 4. Elway has 2. Peyton Manning has 1. And then Johnny Unitas. I'll trust has 1. You're right. Brees was that. So, Alan, you're wrong about Drew Brees, but we appreciate the rest of the research here. So I also did a search here, just curiosity. because it does seem like it's easier lately, like the last 5 or 10 years, for older quarterbacks to kind of stick around. I mean, Phillip Rivers was still slinging it at like age 38, 39. You know, he's kind of in that Kirk Cousins tier. We know what Tom Brady has been. I don't think you can just say, well, Tom Brady's doing it, LeBron James is doing it, therefore, those guys are insane.
Right.
And have, especially in Tom Brady's case, Tom Brady has sacrificed family for football, basically.
Yep.
Think about that.
Yeah, with descending talent, too. That's the thing, is he's sort of sick.
I mean, this year,
he gave up Giselle. Okay, if Brady was still 40, then you know what? Sorry, Giselle, I'm gone. But he gave up the family this season, and he's not that good anymore.
And I think it's possible that that relationship may have been on the rocks long before the public found out. But I found in NFL history here. Yeah, in NFL history, at least going back to like the merger, 16 different quarterbacks, 35 and older, I'll specify this. Actually, this list starts in 1991 with Warren Moon. I don't know if he was the first to do it or if I just like did this like 3 weeks ago and I forgot about it. So this is a link that I saved. So since 1991, at least 16 different quarterbacks aged 35 and older have thrown for 4,000 yards in a season, which is just kind of the benchmark I used as like, are you still a really, really good high end quarterback past the age of 35? 16 different quarterbacks. So it, you know, doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
But Kirk could reasonably fall. And the way he takes care of his body, he's been super durable. He had a good season this last year. He could pretty easily have multiple more effective seasons left in the tank. You know, Rodgers is still pretty effective at 39. Matt Ryan was still throwing for, you know, almost 5,000 yards at age 35, 36. So, I think he's got at least a couple more years left. The question is, how much do you pay for those years, and do those years come in purple? And I don't know where they're leaning with that.
So, I am, from what they've shown, I am willing to bet he's here through at least 24.
Yeah, that's
unless they say we'd like to sign you to a 1 year extension through 24, and they're like, no, it's got to be 3 years. Then you got a problem.
If Kirk's camp says 3 years.
Yeah, yes, yes. If the Cousins camp says, oh, no, it's got to go through 26.
Has he said how long he wants to play for?
He just wants to be a Viking. He just loves being a Viking, he says. He has not said, he has not put a years on it, ever.
He's never said, like, 40 or
no, 42. Nope, he's just talked about the fact that he loves it here, and he loves how the checks go through it every other Friday.
Let's see here. He just works here. David Brazel has some reckless speculation for us. We always love that.
Reckless speculation.
Lamar Jackson seems like he could be unhappy in Baltimore. What do you guys think about how Lamar would function in a KOC offense with Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson to throw to? KOC is clearly a creative offensive mind, and a unique talent like Lamar could be worth exploring. What do you think of that notion?
Well, first of all, what's the price tag? Just in compensation back to Baltimore, because it would be enormous.
And the second price tag.
The second thing is the price tag on Lamar Jackson. And so here's my concern just about him. He is starting to get hurt, and the way, and I don't think he's got another gear to shift it down to change himself.
Yeah.
His healthy talent is fun as hell to watch. And we could certainly talk about accuracy and things like that, but I'm just saying from a availability standpoint, you know, cause someday when Kirk is gone, we will miss that.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I feel like I have such a clear vision of what I, as a fan of football, as a guy with a microphone, for some reason, what I want teams to do with quarterbacks. There are like 5 or 6 guys in the league at any given time, roughly. Joe Burrow is going to be one of them. Patrick Mahomes is, that I would just pay whatever the market rate needs to be. Whatever I need to pay to have Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, previously Tom Brady, you know, whatever that bin looks like every so often, right?
Yep.
I will pay whatever it takes to keep those guys on my team or to get those guys.
Yep.
Everybody else, I move on from if they want to make more money than is going to help my team build a roster. And unfortunately, Lamar Jackson, former MVP, the fact that he's starting to break down a little bit and he wants to make money among the top quarterbacks in the league, I don't think he's on that top tier. He's like on the second tier. I just say no, and I'm because it's going to cripple your franchise. Not to the point where you're going to be a bad team, but to the point where you're going to be stuck in Vikingsville, which is mediocrity.
Yeah.
So
and he's going to get hurt more.
You got to be willing to just say, it was a great 5-year run. We did some nice, fun things. You won an MVP, but it will hurt our franchise if we give you $40 million a year and have to build a 53-man roster around you. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So Charles Steidler says, after listening to Kwesi and KOC talk for 30 minutes and effectively tell me nothing, I'd like to give you guys my power rankings for Minnesota sports masters of grandiloquence.
Oh,
whoa.
Love this.
Number 5, Rocco Baldelli. Will rarely tell you anything, but will say words that are positive.
Yep.
Number 4, Gerson Rosas, previously. Said a lot of things that sounded important but weren't real.
Friend of the show.
He built a great roster, by the way. Built a playoff roster last year. KOC and Kwesi. Intention, foundation, evaluation, coordination, communication, professional word soup from these guys.
I love that.
Yep.
That's great.
Yep. Kwesi, that's real great. Good.
Yep. Derek Falvey and Thad Levine. Well, what we can tell you is, continues on to say nothing. Well, what we can tell you is
Falvey says nothing.
We are exploring all options. Yep. We are constantly evaluating every part of our baseball club.
Yep.
And number 1, who's Rick Spielman. The guy could dodge a question with ease and make it sound like he gave you a genuine answer. Slick Rick.
Hmm.
Well, he would actually laugh mid-answer because he knew he was bamboozling you, and he knew that you knew, and he wanted you to laugh with him. Who's the best at taking a question and turning it into an answer that has nothing to do with the question?
Rick.
Crazy's pretty good at that.
Rick was really good at that.
Well, Brett Favre is pretty good at that.
Well, but Brett Favre would then he would take an innocuous question and break news.
And then ask more questions. Yeah.
But like Falvey tries to take questions and turn them to to what he wants.
Falvey. I think it's probably Falvey. Falvey always brings it back. I always envision guys like these new age. I know I have to be up there for 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes. How do I get up there for a half hour and say nothing? I always envision them going back behind the curtain afterwards and like high-fiving the PR director.
Oh God. Yeah.
Nice job, guys.
Oh God. Yeah.
Before they come out for the media, they all put their hands, they get in like a pregame. They all put their hands.
Say nothing.
In the middle.
Okay, on
1, 2, 3. Say nothing.
Say nothing. I miss Gerson. The only thing I wish Gerson had been himself totally. Just a guy that didn't really have a care in the world.
Just an ass. Yeah.
Yes, but instead of this whole family thing, just be like, you know what, guys, I am an old school executive.
You know,
I smoke in the office, I drink in the office, I do whatever I want.
Do more than that in the office sometimes.
Yeah, literally.
He still peeks my Instagram stories once in a while. I should see if he wants to come back on the show. He used to be a good friend of the show.
Yeah.
He was great with us.
We should get him back. We never had an issue with Gers.
No.
I had a friend who said he saw him at a local restaurant within the last like 3 or 4 months. So he still frequents Minnesota.
Yeah. Daniel Sanchez says, I understand the negativity of the week given the playoff loss, but we have to stop thinking like losers do. We need to have a conversation about how things can go right next year instead of go worse. The offense is largely back, and the production behind Jefferson that we stand to lose can be made up by fresher, younger players. Kirk will finally have some continuity, and I think year 2 is his chance to show his highest potential. We should not extend him until he shows that, however. As for the defense, what about it? There's nowhere to go but up. Sure, maybe we win only 10 or 11 games instead of 13, but I probably trust a team that can do that on a first-place schedule more than this year's team. I agree with a lot of this stuff. If they are to – they're going to kind of nuke the defense, but how much worse can it really get?
Right.
And the offense, if they were to replace Thielen with – literally, like, maybe Jalen Naylor gets more snaps or something, or they draft a wide receiver. A first-round draft pick wide receiver would be really interesting. But it does feel like the team can get better, but the results might be worse because of close game regression, tougher schedule, right? So maybe you do see a 10 or 11 win team that's actually better built for a playoff run if they do it right.
Defensively, I want a fast, swarming, aggressive unit. That's what
swarming.
I want.
Swarming.
I want them to be swarming.
Football. Buzzing around.
I want them to be swarming to the ball. I want, if the ball hits the ground, I want everything returned to the end zone. I want that Tomlin aggressiveness back. That was my favorite. I love the aggressiveness of.
Is Tomlin the one that started like Vikings players for years in training camp? If they picked up
Tomlin started that.
They had to run to the end zone, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Which I actually liked.
Mm-hmm. It's great. Whenever Judd dropped his notebook, got to pick it up, run to the end zone.
Yep. Sean Jensen would pick it up and just take off for the end zone, and then my scoops would all be gone.
Robbie Bruzik says, of all the moves you guys propose, keeping Harrison Smith from a roster construction standpoint is the one that makes the least amount of sense to me. Safety of all positions you talked about is one where we seem to have at least a little bit of depth and have seen some glimpses of some promise from younger guys. Yeah, Metellus, Bynum, more 2 years ago than last year. Lewisine. You guys also repeatedly talk about safety not being a position of value, so why is that the one position you're willing to overpay and restructure for an old guy? You guys seem to be talking out of both sides of your mouth when it comes to that thought process. I won't fight this. Maybe what we're doing is saying, well, you got to keep one of them.
Well, also, but if you're going to, if you have to flat out cut him, it's a fairly large cap hit. That's my
correct.
Point.
Yep. So we're essentially saying we'd rather restructure than cut or ride the contract.
Well,
out. So
as I recall, the entire conversation was that we started out going through the veteran players that might be gone. Is I said I would restructure Thielen and Dex, and you said no, cut him, which is a fairly large cap hit, in the dead cap. And then we got to Smith, and it was the same exact thing. And look, I mean, the one thing here is I'm all for cutting players. You guys know that. I love to cut players. But the dead money accumulates. Like, you can't just be like, okay, now take that on. Now take that kit. At some point in time, you got to think through this. So Thielen and Smith are very costly to cut. And I think you guys thought, and so I, of course, was forced into it, just like I was to leave the the Colts game. I was forced into getting on board with you guys. And so we decided that they couldn't also absorb the dead cap hit on Harrison Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some of this is just, okay, you could just get rid of everyone, but if, like in Harrison Smith's case, the contract they signed him to, you're almost better off just, because you're going to eat so much money anyways, just keep him for another year. And
it was a dumb contract. Like, that's the problem, is he never should have been given this contract.
Yeah. And he's still good. He's just not the player that he was a few years ago.
Amen.
So, Dex, why don't you tell the audience here how they can have a more fun time than even usual watching football this weekend?
Yeah, I got some divisional round weekend. It's actually my favorite weekend of the football calendar year. Not week one, not Super Bowl, not conference championship, divisional round, top four. It's my favorite time of the NFL calendar year. And but let's show off this one, though, because you can do a little mixed sport entry like our guy Ryan did, a little four-pick parlay, Judd. He took Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Boldy saves. And then, or saves and shots, and he put it with Geno Smith and Trevor Lawrence passing yards.
Wow.
He rode those overs. He mixed it up a little wild action with some playoff action. You can do the same thing in Underdog Fantasy this weekend, and we join with promo code SCORE, SKOR. They'll match your first deposit up to $100. Go download the Underdog Fantasy app.
Yes, go.
Football.
Right now. Go do it.
Go do it.
Okay, let's continue here with the feedback on Mackie and Judd, turning the show over to you guys. So the Vikings obviously have a defensive coordinator opening. And Dylan Pease chimes in and says, I am a Wisconsin Badger fan and love Jim Leonard.
Mm.
His defenses were anything but prevent. They were aggressive. They were multiple.
Football.
Talk turkey.
And disciplined. As at Wisconsin, they needed to be gap disciplined because of the lack of athleticism. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Well, I'll come back to that. He also played for Mike Pettine as well, because he played 14 years in the NFL. He played for Mike Pettine for a chunk. And he played with Kevin O'Connell with the Jets. So that might be a pull if you wanted to keep Pettine just on the staff.
Yeah.
And he works with Jim Leonard. So that is the thing. Jim Leonard is out at Wisconsin because they hired Luke Fickell. But he oversaw some of the best defenses in all of college football. They were very much aggressive. And to Dylan's point, Wisconsin defensively was competing with some of the top teams in college football without the 4- and 5-star recruits that some of those teams have. You know, Wisconsin maybe gets like 3, 4, 5 4-star recruits in a recruiting class.
Right.
Ohio State gets 15. Michigan gets 14. Alabama gets 20. 15 to 20. So to be able to put up those defensive numbers as a defensive coordinator and use the interim head coach when things got weird this year, it's worth a look. And the fact that he spent 14 years as an NFL safety, he's only 40 years old. So you wouldn't just be hiring a college guy. Yes, his coaching experience is college, but he just recently retired like 5 years ago from a decade and a half long NFL career.
Yep.
I just did a Google search for Jim Leonard. He is available to be hired, but there's really no steam outside of the Alabama steam. So apparently he is being thrown around as an Alabama defensive coordinator option. The only other thing that pops up is like a Packers or Wisconsin sports blog saying he should go to the Packers. So I don't know what – it's been awfully quiet on the Jim Leonard front. I wonder if NFL steam picks up here at some point.
Certainly would make a lot of sense.
I'm interested.
Yeah, and it would make a ton of sense. The thing I like, too, is I think he would fit really well with the coaching staff and, like, O'Connell. Like, Ed, you know, God bless him, but Ed's 60-something. And he came in and he's got ideas. You know, Mike Pettine or Fangio taught me this or that. I sort of like the idea of a younger guy, aggressive guy again, mm-hmm. guy who's going to swarm to the football, a guy who's going to have an aggressive
football
mentality. I mean, I'm not sure about you guys, but in football, defensively, there's nothing that drives me crazier than a passive defense, than a defense that sort of like is playing prevent to start the game. It's like, what mm-hmm. are you doing? Especially in this league now where pressure on quarterbacks is so imperative. Like, you've got to get to people. And just to see the Vikings sort of forfeit the middle of the field consistently so we don't have deep pass plays, which, by the way, they didn't prevent. I think that this would be the type of hire that would be much more in line with what O'Connell wants from his people than Ed Donatell probably was.
Yeah. Well, something else of note, just digging deeper on the Pettine thing. So, you know, you're wondering, oh, what kind of defenses would Jim Leonard? I think Jim Leonard actually ran a 3-4 defense, at least the last few years at Wisconsin. He was the starting strong safety for 16 games during that 2009 Jets run. Wasn't that the year that the Jets with Mark Sanchez
played
went
the Broncos?
Like the, mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the AFC Championship game right before the Saints Vikings started.
Yep. R.I.P. So he started all 16 games at safety for the Rex Ryan Mike Pettine defense that was one of the best defenses in the NFL in 2009. There's to be connected here, okay?
Yep. Yep. And guess what, too? Rexy's defenses were multiple and super aggressive.
You mean you
teams
can run
wait,
you can run a 3-4 base defense and be super aggressive and jam and blitz and be intimidating?
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay. I wasn't aware if that was part of the guidelines. So Jim Leonard, someone to keep an eye on. I don't know why there's not more conversation. Why are all these – I guess if he was an option for the Vikings, why was he not an option for the Browns or some of these other teams that are looking for defensive – the Falcons, right? There's
perhaps
teams
it's
looking
hush,
for –
hush, in Egan. Perhaps they're just keeping quiet below the radar.
Maybe he's been – maybe him and KOC have been – well, let me paint a scenario, all right? This is not me reporting. This is me speculating.
Reckless.
They're zooming.
When did who was the coach, the Wisconsin coach that got fired again?
Oh, Paul Chryst.
Paul Chryst. Okay, yep. So he got fired in early October.
Yeah,
and then Jim Leonard took over, but then the Luke Fickell stuff started to. But when that happens, and you're Jim Leonard, you're like, oh, whoa, okay, this is a pretty big shakeup happening here. The Vikings were trucking along pretty well, but then, like, in November, as the college season came to an end, that's when the Vikings gave up 40 to the Cowboys, and they started giving up all these points, right? 34 to the Lions, the first half of the Colts, as the Wisconsin season's winding down.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that Jim Leonard, once the Wisconsin season starts winding down in early November, mid-November, and Kevin O'Connell starting to get really frustrated with his defense getting smoked on a week-to-week basis, he went public around that time saying, I told Ed Donatell, if I was attacking your defense, here are the things that I would look to do as an offensive mind, that maybe he's also texting some of his defensive-minded friends around the football sphere. Hey, what do you think of this? Hey, what do you how you doing over there? Oh, man, I saw there was some turmoil in Wisconsin. What's going on with you? You going to stick around there?
You never know.
That's no, completely Kev, reckless. Kev, I don't think it's going to work out for me to stick around with Luke Fickell. Oh, so what are you gonna do? You want to stay in coaching? You want to stay in college? No.
And didn't Jim say when Fickell got the job initially, I think he said he planned to stay on as his DC. And then shortly after that, it disintegrated. And he's like, no, I'm not going to. Yeah. Perhaps KLC said, you know, Jimmy, we're only a few hours away.
How's your family doing? They still living in the Wisconsin area too? Oh, yeah. Well, maybe we should meet in the middle at the Thorpedo sometime and we can get a beer together.
Toma. That gas station in Toma that became a sandwich shop. Meet me there.
Again, we are not reporting by any means that these conversations are happening.
No reporting being done here.
It's an interesting connection.
Reckless speculation.
Nice work.
All right, Ronnie Hippie says, why do we constantly complain about the lack of respect nationally about the success of the Vikings? I've been a Vikings fan since 1971. I barely remember the last Super Bowl in 1977. I've been a loyal fan true and true. I get so tired of Vikings fans complaining about the lack of respect. We need to start winning games. It's as simple as that. I agree. All this stuff about, and we kind of fed into it a little bit, but like, no one respects the Vikings. No one respects the Vikings. Well, then don't get beat at home by the Giants as a favorite on wild card weekend. You don't deserve respect. Go earn your respect by getting to a Super Bowl for the first time since 1977. That should be that should just be the motto here. The Vikings deserve no respect until they earn it by finally getting to a Super Bowl again.
Yeah, the playoffs, 13 wins was really nice. And the playoffs started and we said, okay, prove it. And the Vikings were like, no, we're not going to. Like, it's hard to defend them now. I was trying before because you won 13 games. But my God, when you can't beat the Giants, you know, if you had gone into San Francisco and lost a close game, I'd be like, okay, that's disappointing. But you know what? You won 13 games. You won your first round playoff game. KOC's first year. Okay, that's pretty good. But when you self-destruct against the Giants at home, it's really hard. I mean, what are you going to even say to defend this team? People melted down. The defense melted down. Kirk Cousins melted down.
I mean, the Vikings fans are the only ones that really fight this whole, they want to go to battle with the national perception. Like, this doesn't happen with the Twins. The Twins are trying to battle the local perception that respect us and pay attention to us just locally. But like, if MLB Network is not talking about Luisa Rise, you're not going to get a blog talking about they're disrespecting MLB Network. They're not talking about that. That's not going to happen. It's only with the Vikings fans that this happens, that they want the national respect. Maybe because, you know, the NFL is just all over the place and they're the kings of the four major men's sports in the United States. But the Vikings fans are the only ones that do this. Like, Wild fans won't do this. The Wolves fans certainly won't do this. It's the only battle that the Vikings fans are trying to pick.
And it's a losing battle. The Vikings have earned their lack of respect. They have.
Yep.
And so it's time to go change that. This is actually going to be a really interesting year for O'Connell in that there's going to be this weight of change and regression, and one score games aren't going to go your way as often. And how can you push back at that and still make the playoffs against a first place schedule? While trying to gain the respect of everyone. If Kevin O'Connell can coach this team, whatever this thing looks like next year, to 10 or 11 wins against the first place schedule, I will have more respect even than this last year. So, all right, it's time for our Minnesota goodbye talker of the week here. Declan's got one for you guys.
Mm-hmm. All right, so a week ago on Friday, the gal and I orchestrated a kind of a last-minute double date with my friend and his girlfriend. And because we kind of orchestrated it last minute, we knew like, oh, we want to eat in Minneapolis, but, you know, kind of be a little tough to find a table for four at, you know, this hour. And my fiance was still running errands, so we were trying to figure out timing. And we finally locked down, hey, let's go to this place. I'll leave the place out of it. Like, we'll go here. This is a big enough spot. They should be able to accommodate a four-person table. Let's lock into there. And so my buddy said, he'll go there. He'll get the table, and we'll go from there. So I said, great. He arrives at the restaurant, gets a table for four, texts me, goes, hey, I got a table for four. You'll see us right when you walk in. You can't miss us. We'll see you there. And I said, great. I will be there ASAP. I'm just waiting on her to get home. When she gets home, we'll be there in 10 minutes. It was really close to our place. So about 5 to 10 minutes later, after the fact of the table being established and we're going to go meet them, I get a text from my buddy that says, hey, change of plans. We're going to go eat down the street instead. And I said, oh, okay. Like, I really wanted to eat here. Like, this is where I wanted to eat. He said, yep, change of plans. We're going down the street. He's being very vague about the reasoning. And I'm trying to figure out, like, okay. And I was like, well, like, why are you going down there? Like, we really want to eat here. And he replies back in very vaguely, goes, yep, sorry, just can't eat there. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, what? Why is this guy?
Are you guys like super good friends?
Yeah,
or
really good friend of mine. Really good friend of mine. Really good friend. And he won't really pry the information of why he doesn't want to eat there. His girlfriend is a vegetarian, so I kind of thought, oh, is it not a veg? Like, I was trying to, like, you know, deduct of why he didn't want to go out. But then I realized, no, we've eaten there with them before. Like, I know she likes this place. So I take a complete kind of educated stab in the dark of the reasoning of why. So I text him and I say, did you like run into an ex-girlfriend? Like, what do you mean you can't eat there? And he replies back and goes, wow, like that was an incredible pull. That is exactly what happened. Like, an ex-girlfriend was at the restaurant. So eventually when we meet up with them, okay, long story longer, when we meet up with them, I want the play-by-play of, what do you mean? Like, you saw an ex, and I get it. Like, there's exes in my life that I would prefer not to run into. But was she already seated? Like, what was the order of operations here? So he claimed that he walked in. They get the table for four for me and my fiance to join them on this double date. Within those 5 minutes, his ex walked in and also got a table, not within earshot, but within eyesight of a pretty big restaurant. And he was too uncomfortable, and he got up and left. I'm gonna ask you guys the same question. If I was already seated at a restaurant and it was a big enough spot, like if it's elbows to elbows, you know, I guess it'd be kind of weird if I'm an earshot of the same conversations and vice versa. But if I arrived at a restaurant first, I'm not getting up and leaving for two reasons. Number one, I was there first. And two, me getting up and leaving and then that person seeing that, to me, that awards power to a person that I don't want to award power over me anymore in my life.
You can't leave the restaurant. You can't leave the restaurant in that situation. There's no reason to leave the restaurant.
I agree.
Who cares? You can't be in the same zip code as an ex-girlfriend?
I agree.
Does she have to be outside the city limits for you to enjoy a meal with some friends? Now, if you get seated, like if it's like crammed and you're literally right, like you can hear each other's conversations, I could see how that would be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I'm on your side.
Do we know for sure that So he was with his girlfriend now, though, right?
Correct, yep.
Do we know for sure that she didn't object?
She didn't really care. She did not object.
Well, it was did his, he say that his, she didn't care?
Are was, you no, sure no, that?
Yes, because I asked both their opinions
so you pressed
on this.
Her.
Yep, I
okay,
pressed both of them
press
on
her.
It. Because
the arm twisting.
Like, within the first 5 minutes of me eventually sitting down with them, I was like, okay, give me the play-by-play here. Like, what happened? Like, who arrived
maybe
first?
He's still,
like, who
maybe
was
he's still kind of with the ex-girlfriend.
No.
Maybe there's a little,
No, I don't.
Maybe it's not, maybe the flame hasn't been extinguished yet.
I guess. I don't think that's the case with my friend, but.
I don't know.
But then it caused like a 20-minute conversation at dinner of all of us giving our opinions. If we ran into this ex, we ran into this person, like, what have you got up and leave? And
well,
I said, I'm not leaving.
Line? So you walk into the grocery store and, oh my God, yep, my ex is in the produce aisle. I guess I gotta go to a different grocery store.
I gotta be honest.
Live your life.
I gotta be honest. If that place that you and the fiance wanted to go to and enjoy, and my friend pulled that stunt, I'd be like, dude, that's cool. We will be eating at the restaurant that we picked.
So, I'm with Judd on this. Yeah.
I'm not going to play into your childish games.
Correct.
And flat out, what your gal wanted is more important than your buddy.
Yeah.
Well, here's another question though. Was the dinner gathering more about
Because this would, I guess I'm going to backtrack here. Because a lot of times if we go out with friends, it's more about being with the friends than it is about where we go. Like, we could go whatever. We could go any number of different places. Was this more about for you, just for you guys, was it about the restaurant or was it about hanging out with the friends? Because if it's about the restaurant, you got to, I'm with Jed, you got to tell your buddy, hey, we had our sights set on this thing. If you can't, hey, if you can't deal with your personal life, then right, we'll just see you. We'll see you tomorrow night or see you next time.
So the funny part was, is it, I would say it's about 50-50 in that split there, because the restaurant they were going to go to afterwards, after the whole kerfuffle, we can't eat there, we're going down the street. The restaurant down the street was a restaurant we had no interest in, like zero interest in.
Dude.
To which I called back, and I said, I'm not going to meet you at this new restaurant. If you're now, this is now becoming a curb situation. If you're uncomfortable with the original restaurant, I am suggesting a third restaurant. You can meet us there or not. We are going to eat here. So that is
and
what happened.
And then you get to the third restaurant.
I think you should have
gone to
your
restaurant. Again.
Yeah.
I think you should have gone to your restaurant.
Well,
I really do.
The first option was great, and the third option was one of our regulars, and we said, we're going to the third option. If you're uncomfortable, if you don't want to come to the third option, because now you are going to go three different places, that's fine, but we will be here. If you want to come join us, come join us. They did come join us.
You get to the third place. There's Declan's X.
Oh, my God.
You know, I feel like this was, well, first of all, congratulations, because I feel like you did do the right thing by balking at the second choice. And so you did establish the site of the meetup. But I feel like the first thing, Dex, I feel like that's a chance for you to establish a culture. And the culture is, we are going to where we're going. Like, you guys are too old now for this.
I agree.
Crap.
Yeah, no, dude,
you're
like,
30 now,
I
man.
If you were 18 or 20, okay, then it's uncomfortable. But
that's what I said.
You know, you're 30. You're going to see a lot of people you don't like. You're going to, and across the restaurant, like, I think the Declan culture, as you and your future wife begin on your journey, the culture has to be, we're adults here. If you don't want to be an adult, that's cool. But then we're done as friends.
I am with you. No, I'm with you.
So,
Judd,
you would have ended the friendship that night.
I would have been thrilled to get out of the thing.
I did tell him when he went, like I said, when he went down to the second restaurant down the street, I called him. I said, there's no chance we're going to that restaurant.
Well, good for you for that. I
said, I'm not
that.
Doing that. And I showed her the menu. I was like, look at this place. Do you want to eat here? And she literally, within 3 seconds, goes, you.
I need to know.
I'll let you know off mic. If they're a proud sponsor of Mackie and Judd and Score North.
I can't wait until they become a sponsor.
If that had occurred with Dawn, she would not have deviated at all.
Yeah.
Because she picks the restaurant, she will look, I'm not joking, she will look at an online menu of a place that she's picked for a week.
Kelsey does the same thing.
She'll have decided what I should get. She'll have decided what she's going to get. We will then get there, and she will vacillate on what she's going to get. She knows what I should get, which, by the way, this might sound weird, I actually like, because she, like, knows what I like. Yeah. But I mean, if you were to basically go to the line of scrimmage of the dinner date and audible, Dawn would be like, she'd be like Ditka on Harbaugh in 93 at the Metrodome.
Getting comfortable with everybody. Oh my God. Incredible. Incredible. So yes, that was my dilemma.
Well, good for you. I do admire what
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I think you drew a line partially in the sand, but there's maybe some room for improvement here, but yeah. All right. So, yeah, what do you think about Declan's conundrum? Are you caving into your friend? Let us know in the YouTube comment section so we can pull the room here. Or hit us up on Twitter where we're constantly just doom scrolling. Vikings doom scrolling.
He's 30 as well.
Yeah, he's the same age as me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
When you're 30,
man.
Just enjoy your night for sure. Drink a couple old fashions. All right. That's Mackie and Judd here. Feedback Friday. We'll see you guys early next week.